The power of the resurrection is the power of hope, power of life over death. Something that happened 2,000 years ago, we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we've heard it so many times that we lessen its impact in our lives. We have to remember. In order to access the power of the resurrection, we have to remember and believe. The resurrection is for us the power of hope, the power of life defeating death, the power of knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that you will never die, but that you will live in victory. Accessing that power, tapping into that power to live in victory every day. That's what the resurrection means. It's a true story of a school that had a devastating fire many, many years ago. 263 children were killed in that fire. You can imagine that in a small town as it was, there was rarely a whole family life that wasn't changed, touched by that tragedy. So the community got together and they actually contributed to the building of a new school and to the installation of a state-of-the-art sprinkler system, one that was the best that money could buy. And as they dedicated that school, they celebrated. They celebrated that a tragedy like that would never have to happen again. The town grew and pride was at its peak, so much so that years later they had to expand the school that they had rebuilt and dedicated with this sprinkler system. And guess what? When they were in the process of expanding the school, they discovered that the sprinkler system, the state-of-the-art system, was never hooked up. They lived with the belief that it was. You know, I make that illustration because of this reason. It is possible to be a Christian and not live in the power of the resurrection, to not hook into it, to not hook up to that power. It is. It's possible to be a Christian and not be accessing that power for yourself, that power for living. That's what I want to speak to you today about. And I'd like to read a passage of Scripture that maybe you've read before, but it'll be our only text for today. It's Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll be reading verse 18 through 23. Ephesians 1. You can look at it in your Bible, but we'll also put it up on the big screen for you. These are Paul's words. It's his prayer, his highest prayer for us. And no wonder, for he wanted everyone that he loved to be able to tap into that power, the power for living in victory, the power for overcoming fear. So he said these words in chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I want you to know that power, but not only to know it, that the eyes of your heart may realize it, may see it, but you can access it. Paul said that that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That power of the resurrection. Do you remember when Jesus was speaking to Peter? And he had asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Petros, Peter, and on this rock, Petra, me, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The rock in which the church is founded is the conviction that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was raised from the dead. Hades. Hades was that place of the dead. Hades was the underground. It was the place where people went to when they departed before Jesus opened heaven. Heaven was not yet open. But yet people were still the same, spirit, soul, and body. And so when people died, the only part of them that really died was their body, the physical part. But their spirit and soul descended, it says in the Bible, descended into Hades itself. Hades had the power to hold them, the gates of Hades, shut behind everyone who had died before Jesus Christ had risen. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "Because I will rise, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church." The declaration of my resurrection, the declaration of who I am. I will break the bonds of death. Acts said it this way: it was not possible for Jesus to be held by death. It was not possible for the gates of Hades to prevail against him. No power. And because of it, no power over us. Do you remember when mighty Samson prayed to God for one last exhibition of his strength? You know, they had pulled out his eyes and they had chained him. And because they cut his hair, his strength was gone. But as he was chained to the gates, the pillars of that city, he prayed one last time for strength. And as he did, those pillars were pulled down. An illustration of what Jesus did in the underground, in Hades itself. Now, he stands before us, Jesus, the risen Christ. He stands in the glow and the glory of his resurrection. And he says, "I am he that lives, he who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of Hades and death." Power. Power to overcome. Power to overcome death. The word power, dunamos, the word where we get our word dynamite, power of the resurrection. It was like the working energy of his mighty strength. Mighty, the ability to conquer, strength, the power to overcome. You see, just as the cross is the greatest display of Christ's love, the resurrection is the greatest display of his power. No created force could ever do this. And so Paul said, "I want you to be able to access that power. I want you to be able to hook into it, to hook up to that power, and have it flow into your life." You see, the cross is powerful, but without the resurrection, we live in the feeling of forgiveness, but yet not victory to overcome in our lives. I not only need God's grace for forgiveness, but I need his power to live in victory. How about you? I not only need his grace for forgiveness, I need his power to be able to live, to be able to live in victory. Two ways. In victory over my fear of physical death, and in victory over my fear to dying to myself and selfishness. The victory over physical death. You know, the Bible is true, of course, when it says that up until Christ, people were paralyzed by their fear of death. And you see, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that that automatically goes away for you, does it? We still worry, we still fear death. But when the resurrection power of Christ begins to work in our life, when we begin to truly believe it, when we begin to say, I know it's true, I know my Savior lives, and because He lives, I too will live. When He said those words to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes this, though he dies, shall live. And he who believes it will never die. Do you believe this? He said to them. You see, believing is not just mental assent. It's letting it get down into your spirit and soul so much that you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's faith. That's true belief. And that's when the power begins to flow into your life to overcome even the fear of physical death. Can you imagine seeing what they saw? They saw him crucified, and then they saw him alive again. It was a convincing proof, a proof that he is who he says he is. Can you imagine the feeling of having all hope dashed, shattered, destroyed? Maybe you can. Maybe you felt that way at the death of a loved one. Death has touched most of us in this congregation very personally. We understand its sting, don't we? We surely do. But the words of the Scripture are true. Because of Christ, we can apply a power to us that enables us to say, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Christ has overcome. Now, before I talk about the second application of resurrection power, not just over our fear of physical death, but over our fear of dying to self and selfishness, I want to make another application, like the video that I had made to start the service. This one is a little more modern, but maybe it'll help us feel what they felt. It's an even shorter video, but I think you'll appreciate it here. I don't think anyone will not be able to relate to this second video, just a minute long, but another illustration of what happens in us when we truly believe. You guys got it? I know that for me, when I close my eyes and think about my father, I picture him standing in the presence of God, strong and whole and healthy again. I picture him that way, and I know it's true, and I know I'll see him again. I know I will. That's the power of the resurrection. Not only the power over the fear of physical death, but in our lives, we not only deal with our struggle to want to stay healthy and vibrant and even grow old as gracefully as we can, but day to day, we struggle with these other words of Jesus when he said, if any man would follow me, if any woman would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and then follow me. We struggle with those words of how to apply them to our lives because everything in our world today forces upon us a pressure to really just exalt ourselves and take care of ourselves no matter what anybody else, whatever happens to anybody else. It's about us. We're programmed by the world. And it seeps into even the best of Christians. It seeps into us when we're tired and busy, and when we're working so hard, and we really just want me time, you know? We want ourselves to enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life, but here's what's wrong with living a selfish life. A life that is only concerned about you, only afraid about what will happen to you. You become self-absorbed and you lose the sight of everyone else around you. And you not only lose their sight, but you lose the ability to tap into their feelings, their issues, their struggles. And you lose the ability to actually continue what Jesus began, a life of giving, a life of sacrificial giving, where Jesus would walk into the room and he wasn't worried about himself. His eyes were on those other people in that room and what he could do for them. And living in the power of the resurrection is living in that power, living in the power to not have to worry about yourself. God has your back. Not have to worry about your own protection and provision. God is your provider. He is your refuge, your strength, your tower, your fortress, your deliverer. And because of that power of the resurrection, you can, as it says, sort of die to self and focus on the others that God puts in your life, family members, friends, coworkers, people at school. Caring about them and demonstrating a power in your life that is the power to overcome the force of this world to conform to selfishness. These two things are accessed when we tap into, plug into, hook up into the power of the resurrection, the power of believing that, listen, there is nothing that we can lose that Christ will not give back to us. We have a profound hope that gives us the ability to even live risky lives. You know what that means? What does it mean for you to live a risky life? Taking risks because you don't have to worry. The resurrection story is an incredible ending to what the world thought was the worst tragedy of all times. The end showed that God wins, and those who are with him will win along with them. One day, God will renew the entire world, the scripture said, and make it the way it was supposed to be. The resurrection gives us a glimpse into that right now. And it gives us the power to begin to demonstrate that life in our lives. Why do we have difficulty with struggles? Why do we have such a hard time with death? Why are we so afraid of losing money or career? Is it because we truly haven't believed in the power of the resurrection? That we somehow get sucked into believing that this broken world is all there is? Could it be? Could it be that today God wants you to have a hope greater than that? Even a certainty, a faith so strong that it cannot be broken. Paul is trying to speak that into our lives as he prays for us, as he prayed for his church. It's not possible that we could ever fail or consider ourselves as losers because Christ lost everything for us. We ultimately can't lose anything. Do you get that? Jim Elliot got it, a missionary that went to a tribe in Ecuador or Peru, that had never been reached before, and he was there trying to share the gospel with them when a spear pierced his soul, and he died physically. But not before saying these words. He said, "He is no fool, him who gives what he can never keep to gain what he can never lose." Do you get that? He is no fool. The power of the resurrection means that when you give yourself, you can never lose. never lose. Eternal life. It's true. It's true. I wish I had an app that just popped it up on your cell phones right now. I wish I had a way to implant it into your soul in such a way that you could leave this place today with such a confidence, such an assurance that would be unshakable. The power of everlasting life, the power of the resurrection. Well, maybe there is a way. Maybe there is a way that as we prepare to end this service today with communion, that God would do a miracle in your heart. That as you partake today of these elements of Holy Communion, that hope becomes a reality in you. And that the fear of death and the fear of dying to self, they go and are replaced with a confidence, even an expectancy that can never be shaken. We have a special song to prepare us for communion, and I'd like Amy and Summer to come at this time. Very fitting song to lead us into what I hope is the most powerful communion that you have ever, ever experienced. That through it, God brings power into your life today. Would you open up and just ask Him, help me, Lord, today to tap in. Let me see the empty cross, the empty grave, and invite your risen power into my heart today.